we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good morning, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs, and I'm so glad to be here today. I hope you are having a great day. Welcome to WMIE 91.5 FM, the Refresh Radio program. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. My name's Bob Arthurs, and we are looking forward to spending the next half hour with you. You can find this program 8:30 of a morning, 5 o'clock of an evening on 91.5 FM. You can find us at 10:30 a.m. on 1510 WWBC AM. You can also find us on the WMIEFM.com website. Scroll down to the bottom of the page. You can find the Listen on Demand feature. Type in the date that you want. You can also listen live to whatever programs are on the air at that point in time. You can use the TuneIn app and find it on there. And you can listen to this program wherever you are in the world, if you remember what time zone it is in. So we want to say thank you. We are coming up on the end of our fourth year of broadcasting. It's hard to believe that that much time has gone by already, but it has. And we start our next anniversary next week on that broadcast. So with that being said, we want to get into the Word of God. We are talking about patience. And recently I was at a conference with my wife. It was a women's conference, and I drove her up there and made sure that they got registered and all of that sort of stuff. And while I was there, I was forced into a position where patience was a necessity. And getting to the hotel, there are literally thousands of women lined up at the same time, at the same place, with the same goal, the same purpose, the same needs. You know, they had to get registered for the conference. They had to get registered for the hotel. And all of us are at this hotel that we're not all that familiar with. And the hotel didn't have any signage telling you where to park. It didn't have any direction. It literally did not have sufficient staffing to be able to handle that massive amount of people. It's a very, very large hotel. And I was forced to be patient. And so I kept telling the ladies as we were standing in line, you know, this is what we're going to be talking about on the radio program, is patience. And so I'm having to put this into practice. Patience is something that you and I need on a regular basis. And I hope that we pass the test. So we talked earlier about possess your souls with patience. Patience has some very practical applications. It affects the way that we live. It is a fruit of the Spirit, is what launched us into this study. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. And so it is something that is birthed out of our spirit. And so whenever we are what I say about the fruit of the Spirit is, whenever we fail to manifest what God describes in His Word as a fruit of the Spirit, what that should indicate to us is that we need to intensify our relationship with the Holy Spirit in order to manifest the fruit of the Spirit. So if you find yourself in a situation where you're hating someone instead of loving someone, then there is a disconnect someplace with your relationship with the Holy Spirit, because God wants you to love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So there's a disconnect there. In fact, in the epistles of John, it says you cannot say that you love God and hate your brother. It's a disconnect there. It doesn't line up. So you can have the profession, but if you don't have the manifestation, it is saying there is a disconnect in your relationship, and you don't produce the fruit that God wants you to. The same thing with joy and peace and patience. Now, it doesn't mean that there's a total disconnect. You just need to work on that situation. And that is really an act of love on God's part to show us any problem areas in our life so that we can get those things corrected, so that we can get them manifested, or manifesting the fruit of the Spirit that God wants us to. So with that being said, I want to take you to the book of Acts today. This is a narrative portion of Scripture. It's a historical account of Paul when he stood on trial. Acts, the 26th chapter, and this is when he's been arrested, he's appealed to Caesar, and after he appealed to Caesar, Herod Agrippa came to visit Festus, and he had been desirous to hear of Paul, and so Festus set up a meeting where they could have interaction together, and this is the passage that details how that meeting went. So let me take you to Acts, the 26th chapter, and I'm going to read a significant portion of Scripture this morning so that you understand everything that went on. Acts chapter 26, verse number 1, it says, "Then Agrippa said to Paul, 'You are permitted to speak for yourself.' So Paul stretched out his hand and answered for himself, 'I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because today I shall answer for myself before you concerning all the things of which I am accused by the Jews, especially because you are expert in all the customs and questions which have to do with the Jews. Therefore, I beg you to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which was spent from the beginning among my own nation at Jerusalem, all the Jews know. They knew me from the first. If they were willing to testify that according to the strictest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made by God to our fathers. To this promise, our 12 tribes, earnestly serving God night and day, hope to attain. For this hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused by the Jews. Why should it be thought incredible by you that God raises the dead? Indeed, I myself thought I must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. This I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest, and when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. And I punished them often in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly enraged against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities. While thus occupied, as I journeyed to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, along the road I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we all had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew language, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads.' So I said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but declared first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem and throughout all the region of Judea and then to the Gentiles that they should repent, turn to God, and do works befitting repentance. That's a pretty powerful scripture. For these reasons, the Jews seized me in the temple and tried to kill me. Therefore, having obtained help from God to this day, I stand witness both to small and great, saying no other things than those which the prophets and Moses said would come, that Christ would suffer, that he would be the first to rise from the dead, and would proclaim light to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles. Now, as he thus made his defense, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, you are beside yourself. Much learning is driving you mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak the words of truth and reason. For the king, before whom I also speak freely, knows these things. For I am convinced that none of these things escaped his attention, since this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you do believe. Then Agrippa said to Paul, you almost persuade me to become a Christian. Verse number 29. And Paul said, I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me today might become both almost and altogether such as I am, except for these chains. When he said these things, the king stood up, as well as the governor and Bernice and those who sat with them. And when they had gone aside, they talked among themselves, saying, this man is doing nothing deserving of death or chains. Then Agrippa said to Festus, this man might have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar. And that's Acts, the 26th chapter. The first thing I want to draw your attention to is in verse number 3, where Paul has been given permission to speak for himself, and he makes a request of King Agrippa. Now, that is a very unusual thing for a prisoner to make a request of the person who is hearing his case. And Paul's request was simply this: would you listen patiently? Would you listen patiently? And it's that same word that we have. It means to listen patiently is basically what it means. That's the definition. That you and I, we've got to practice that disciplined hearing. I don't know how you listen. If you've been listening to this program for a while, you have developed an ability to listen to what I'm saying and trying to follow the train of thought. And hopefully you are not just listening with your ears, you are listening with your spirit. And you and I, we control how we listen. You can listen distracted. You can be listening to someone with your ears, but you can also be doing something else at the same time. Have you ever tried to do that? A lot of times that will happen with conversations that people have. If they come up and they start talking to you while you are focused on something else that is going on. And we need to practice that patience in listening. We live in a hurting and fallen world. And so the goal of this broadcast today is simply this, that we would listen the way that God wants us to, that we would not just have words that come into our ears, but we would hear them with the focus and the intention of grasping what is said, what the meaning of that statement is, and what the person is trying to communicate. So, there are people who listen literally. There's a funny story that I've seen about a wife that gives very detailed instructions on what she wants her husband to get at the grocery store. And he comes back literally with half a dozen eggs, half a loaf of bread. you know, everything that she said he brought back, but not in the manner in which she was intending it to communicate. I don't know if you've ever communicated something and the person that heard what you said did exactly what you said, but it wasn't what you meant. So my congregation, my wife, my kids, they're all the time hearing what I say, but every once in a while, my words will get tangled up between transmission from my brain to my lips, and something not quite what I intended comes out. And they say, you know, that doesn't make sense. And so I've developed this response, and that is, listen to what I mean, not to what I say. And, you know, they get a kick out of that because I'm not correcting them. I'm not admonishing them. I'm basically admitting, okay, this is what I meant to say right here. So how do you listen? Paul made a request of Agrippa to listen patiently, to take control of his auditory input system so that he would grasp the seriousness of what Paul was trying to communicate. So not only can you be listening distracted, you can be listening with your ears, but your mind be a million miles away. I tell our congregation from time to time, it's like, you know, it would be interesting if we had a mirrored backdrop here behind me, so then that you all could see, and it's not just our congregation, I've told this to other congregations, so that you could see up there what I see from out here. I'm an interactive preacher, so here on the radio, there is a difference there than what I preach, because I'm looking people in the eye. I try and scan from left to right, front to back, center to the right row, to the left row. I am looking for people's eyes. I'm looking to see how they are listening, if they are hearing what I'm trying to communicate. And if they're not receiving it, then I've got to go to work to make sure that the valuable truths that God wants to impart that day are communicated in not just a manner that pleases my mouth, but in a manner that impacts the person's ears. And I'm not talking about volume. I'm talking about reformatting what the way that the manner in which I'm speaking about something, because God said in his word that there would come a time that there would be a famine from hearing the word of the Lord. It never said that there would be a famine of the word of the Lord. It says that there would be a famine of people hearing. And so Paul's standing here before Agrippa. This may be the only opportunity that a Christian would have to communicate the gospel to King Agrippa. And so Paul said, would you please listen to me patiently? When Jesus was ministering in Luke chapter 19, I'm going to put a mark here, and then I'm going to turn back to Luke chapter 19 so that you can hear this. Luke 19, turning the pages. And it says in verse number 47, and he was teaching daily in the temple, but the chief priests, the scribes, and the leaders of the people sought to destroy him, and were unable to do anything, for all the people were very attentive to him. In the NIV, it says that they hung on Jesus' words. They hung on his every word. That's how they were listening. Now, you and I, when we are listening with patience, we are listening with fully devoted attention. We are completely fixated. There are some people who listen with their arms crossed, and they're saying, tell me something I've never heard before. That's what happened with Paul when he went to Athens and to Mars Hill. Is those people there were all they wanted to hear was something brand new. I will tell you that that is one of the things that I see in a lot of Christians is they are looking, tell me something I've never heard before. Tell me something that is going to impact me. Well, I will tell you this, that one of the most impacting statements that I hear from my wife is not something that I've never heard before, but it is when she tells me something that she has told me a million times before, and she looks at me and says, "Honey, I love you." And when I say, "Honey, I love you," and those words, those aren't new words, those are words that we are freshly reminding one another of on a constant basis. So rather than just listening to see if there's, you know, a new groundbreaking truth, we should be listening, hanging on Jesus' every word. It said that there were people who were seeking to destroy Jesus, and they were unable to do so, not because Jesus was teaching, but because the way the people were receiving the teaching that Jesus was speaking. They were fixated. They were hanging with anticipation. They were eagerly soaking up every word that Jesus spoke. It was literally said, no one ever spoke the way this man spoke. The religious leadership sent people to arrest Jesus, and they came back without him. And they said, "Well, where is he?" And he said, "No one ever taught the way that that man teaches." And so people who were sent there to arrest and apprehend he who is the living word of God failed to do so, because when they got there, they began to listen attentively, listen with patience, and that's very, very important. So you and I, we need to really allow the Holy Spirit to impact how we listen. When you go to church this Sunday, when you're listening to this radio program, when you're listening to the program after this one or before this one, what is your method of listening going to be? Now, at times I will have things where if my mind is running very active and I need it to calm down so that I can possess my soul the way God wants me to, I will put on some things that will become like a familiar, a comfortable noise. My body is tuned to listening to things that are out of the ordinary. The noises at the back part of my house are different than the noises at the front part of my house. And so whenever I'm struggling to sleep, if I move from one area of the house to another area of the house, my hearing goes up and I hear all of the various noises. So there are people who will provide like wind machines, fans. I know people, evangelists and things, who travel with a fan or a white noise machine, you know, that sounds like water dripping on the roof. Once you've had several roof leaks, that's not a soothing sound anymore. but, you know, if there's just a sound that you are used to going to, then they are able to focus on just shutting their brain off and going to sleep. Paul, back to the book of Acts, Paul made his speech, and when he got to talking about the resurrection of the dead, it so challenged the normal understanding that once you die, you're dead and you are never going to live again, that Festus, who was sitting there with King Agrippa, had heard everything that he could stand. And he said, "Your great learning is driving you mad." And Paul said, "No, I haven't lost my mind. I am not mad. I speak the words of truth and reason, and I speak freely, and I am convinced that King Agrippa is fully aware of the prophets." And it says this, "Do you believe the prophets? I know that you do believe." Now listen to what Agrippa says in verse number 28. "You almost persuade me to be a Christian." He was listening. You can tell from his final statement, verse number 32, this man might have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar. Paul won the attentive, patient hearing of Agrippa because Agrippa said, I have listened with an analytic mind, and I can tell that you do not deserve to stand where you're standing right now. If it was up to me, I would have set you free. He listened to the facts, but he missed the truth. And he said in verse number 28, you almost persuade me to become a Christian. He was listening, but there was something. He recognized the truth, but there was something that was holding him back. And Paul said, I would to God that not only you, but listen to this, also all who hear me today might become both almost and altogether such as I am, except for these chains. You and I, when we are communicating with people, we need to understand that there are other people listening to us. If you are speaking, if you are out in public, if you are out in a restaurant, there may be other people around you who are hearing what you are saying. And so have a godly conversation. Have a godly conversation. When you go to church this week, I pray that you will make it your prayer. God, would you help me? Would the Holy Spirit produce the fruit of patience in me today so that as the pastor is speaking, as the Sunday school teacher is speaking, as the worship is going on, would you help me to listen patiently? Because you want to speak to me today. Over and over in the scriptures, it says, let him who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. God has a word. It's not just about preaching a sermon. It is about preaching the word that God has for that congregation that morning, and he knows every person that's going to be there. So the pastor has a responsibility. Speak that word. You and I, we've got that responsibility to listen patiently and hear what God wants to say. Father, I pray today that you would give us ears to hear. Lord, that we would listen attentively and patiently for you speak to us. See you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.